It is 3 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
UN warns Ebola outbreak threatens West Africa and needs a global response. Conflicting accounts on the outcome of the battle in northeast Nigeria. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. The global community was told Tuesday the Ebola outbreak is overwhelming current efforts to contain it. The deadly virus threatens the stability of African countries. UN members were briefed by officials on the front lines of the battle, including the president of the medical charity Doctors Without Borders, Joanne Liu.
This is a transnational crisis with social, economic, and security implications for the African continent. It is your historic responsibility to act now. We cannot cut off the affected countries and hope this epidemic will simply burn out.
She criticized the global community for what she called a coalition of inaction, urged wealthy nations to dispatch specialized biological disaster response teams to West Africa. The Director General of the World Health Organization, Margaret Chan, says more than 1,550 are now dead from the outbreak, and there are more than 3,000 confirmed cases.
The outbreak will get worse before it gets better, and it requires a well-coordinated, big search and huge scale-up of outbreak response urgently.
David Nabarro is the UN system coordinator on Ebola.
What we've got to do now is to roll up our sleeves and get all parts of the UN system working together on a confident and comprehensive response, getting the necessary elements into the countries so that healthcare workers can work, bringing in outside health workers as much as we can.
The UN says Ebola has put harvests at risk and sent food prices soaring. Vincent Martin is in Dakar.
In the three countries severely affected by Ebola, the agriculture and the food security situation is really deteriorating.
This is VOA News. The Democratic Republic of Congo Tuesday said 31 people in DRC have died of Ebola in a separate outbreak not believed linked to what's occurring in West Africa. President Obama released a video message to West Africa Tuesday, reaffirming U.S. support in the fight against Ebola, acknowledging stopping it won't be easy, but saying it can be done and the people of West Africa are not alone. There are conflicting reports on whether Islamist militants have taken over a city in northeast Nigeria after a fierce gun battle with troops, the fighting reported to have killed scores. The group has seized parts of Borno State, including the town of Gwoza, for what Boko Haram leader Abubakar Shekau called an Islamic caliphate. In Nairobi, African Union heads of state discussed creating a special fund to combat Islamist militants. Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan said the rise of violent extremism poses one of the greatest threats to peace and security.
The past decade has been characterized by the rise of violent extremism and terrorism on the continent, as shown by the attacks carried out in the Sahel-Saharan region, Nigeria, Central Africa, and East Africa. The threat is further complicated by the growing links between terrorism and transnational organized crime, most notably drug and arms trafficking, human smuggling, illicit proliferation of weapons, and money laundering.
The African leaders took part in the AU Peace and Security Council summit in the Kenyan capital. U.S. Defense spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby Tuesday said officials are trying to determine whether a U.S. drone strike in Somalia killed Ahmed Abdi Godane, leader of the militant group Al-Shabaab.
This operation was a direct strike against the Al-Shabaab network, specifically the group's leader, Ahmed Abdi Al-Mohammed, also known as Ahmed Gadan. We are still assessing the results of the operation.
He said if Godane was killed, it would be a, quote, a very significant blow to the network, to their organization, and to their ability to continue to conduct terrorist attacks. The group has claimed responsibility for attacks in neighboring countries, including bomb blasts that killed more than 70 in Uganda's capital Kampala in 2010, and the 2013 assault on Nairobi shopping mall in September that left more than 60 dead. Meanwhile, U.S. officials say the U.S. military is preparing a possible redeployment of its drones in Niger to set up a forward base in the Sahara closer to Islamist militant groups. Washington deployed unarmed surveillance drones in Niger after last year's French-led military operation against Al-Qaeda-linked militants in northern Mali. The base is said to be located in Agadez, some 800 kilometers northeast of Niamey. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, September the 3rd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. U.S. President Barack Obama urges West Africans to take Ebola precautions.
The most common way you can get Ebola is by touching the body fluids of someone who's sick or has died from it, like their sweat, saliva, or blood, or through a contaminated item, like a needle.
The Pentagon says its drone attack in Somalia targeted the leader of Al-Shabaab. Thousands of Nigerians flee recent Boko Haram attacks. The African Union holds a summit on the threat of terrorism on the continent. And the African Union says Lesotho's political leaders must use negotiations to resolve their differences.
I already issued a statement, first of all, urging the parties to sit down and be able to solve their problem amicably using the instruments that the country has.
Erastus Muecha is the deputy chairman of the African Union, and Cameroon confiscates 200 elephant tusks bound for Asia. Those stories plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The international medical aid group Doctors Without Borders says the world is losing the battle against Ebola and warns that the deadly virus will not be stopped unless wealthy nations dispatch specialized biological disaster response teams to West Africa. Meanwhile, U.S. President Barack Obama has joined the fight against Ebola by recording a message for West Africans on how to avoid and treat the deadly disease. In a video released by the White House on Tuesday, Mr. Obama warned people in Guinea, Liberia, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone not to touch the blood, sweat, or other body fluids of Ebola patients and to avoid contaminated items such as used needles. Here is President Barack Obama.
I want to take a few moments to speak directly to you, the people of West Africa, especially in Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Nigeria. On behalf of the American people, I want you to know that our prayers are with those of you who have lost loved ones during this terrible outbreak of Ebola. Along with our partners around the world, the United States is working with your governments to help stop this disease. And the first step in this fight is knowing the facts. First, Ebola is not spread through the air like the flu. You cannot get it from casual contact, like sitting next to someone on a bus. You cannot get it from another person until they show the symptoms of the disease, like fever. Second, the most common way you can get Ebola is by touching the body fluids of someone who's sick or has died from it, like their sweat, saliva, or blood, or through a contaminated item, like a needle. That's why the disease is continuing to spread where patients are being cared for at home or during burials when families and friends lay their loved ones to rest. That's why healthcare workers wear protection like gloves and masks. It's why if you feel sick with a high fever, you should get help right away. Because with prompt treatment in a medical center, nearly half of patients can recover. And it's why when burying someone who has died from this terrible disease, it's important to not directly touch their body. You can respect your traditions and honor your loved ones without risking the lives of the living. Stopping this disease won't be easy, but we know how to do it. You are not alone. Together, we can treat those who are sick with respect and dignity. We can save lives, and our countries can work together to improve public health so this kind of outbreak doesn't happen again. In this urgent work, and in building a stronger and more prosperous Africa, you'll continue to have a partner in me and in the United States of America.
That was U.S. President Barack Obama delivering a video message to West Africans about the deadly Ebola virus. Meanwhile, in Liberia, a missionary organization announced on Tuesday that another American doctor has become infected. Serving in mission said the obstetrician was not treating Ebola patients at the hospital in Monrovia. It did not elaborate how the doctor contracted the virus. The U.S. Defense Department has confirmed that the leader of the terrorist group, Al-Shabaab, was the target of a recent drone attack in Somalia. VOA's Carla Babb has more from the Pentagon.
Al-Shabaab militants took a huge hit from the United States this week. The Pentagon says U.S. forces destroyed an Al-Shabaab encampment and a vehicle north of the port city of Barawe, using Hellfire missiles and laser-guided munitions. Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby says the target was clear.
This operation was a direct strike against the Al-Shabaab network, specifically the group's leader, Ahmed Abdi Al-Mohammed, also known as Ahmed Gadan.
Ahmed Gadane has been the publicly named leader of the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab group since December 2007. The group has claimed responsibility for several terrorist attacks, including bomb blasts that killed more than 70 people in Uganda's capital in 2010, and the 2013 assault on a Nairobi shopping mall that left more than 60 people dead. As for whether Gadane was killed in the attacks, Kirby said the Pentagon believes it successfully struck the encampment and the vehicle target.
We certainly believe that we hit what we were aiming at.
However, Kirby would not answer questions on casualties because he said the military is still assessing the mission's effectiveness. Al-Shabaab has lost territory to African Union and Somali government forces during the past 4 years, but it remains a threat to Somalia's stability. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
African leaders met Tuesday in Nairobi to discuss how to deal with terrorism and extremism across the continent. The summit, the first on terrorism and organized by the African Union, comes amid reports of a U.S. drone strike in Somalia targeting the leader of the militant group Al-Shabaab. Mohamed Yusuf has more for VOA from Nairobi.
The Nairobi Security Summit is being attended by six heads of state from Nigeria, Chad, Niger, Kenya, Tanzania, and Somalia, and leaders from several other African countries. The African Union's top official for counterterrorism, Ambassador Francisco Madeira, says the meeting will foster ways on how African countries can combat terrorism and to encourage neighboring countries to share information.
We need decisions, and then we need to see where are the sources of support, material, financial and otherwise, to the different bodies that are dealing with the issue of terrorism, better coordination of action amongst member states, and better sharing of information, operational information, for them to be more effective on the ground, and faster activity against Al-Shabaab, Acme, and Boko Haram.
In the past decade, the African continent has witnessed a major expansion and escalation of terrorist violence. Security experts say the threat of terrorism is accelerating across Africa at an alarming rate. So far, 22 countries have been targeted. The AU's Peace and Security Council reported on terrorism-related issues at an earlier summit in Equatorial Guinea in June. African leaders meeting there expressed deep concern about the threats from Boko Haram in Nigeria, Al-Shabaab in the Horn of Africa, and from Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which operates in wide areas across the Sahara, Algeria and Morocco. The meeting this week in Nairobi is expected to study the issues raised by the terrorist threat and on effective mechanism to tackle them. Some African countries have been accused of not doing enough and misusing the funds provided to combat terrorism. Burundi's ambassador to Ethiopia and to the African Union, Alan Nyamitwe, notes AU military missions have been successfully deployed to war-hit countries like Somalia and Mali. But he says a lot more needs to be done to fight terrorism on the continent.
So I think the Peace and Security Council is discharging its mandate very well. Of course, I think no organ of AU is perfect. That does not mean that we are not doing enough. We are not possibly performing to the level of expectation.
A senior researcher with the Pretoria-based Institute for Security Studies, Martin Iwi, warns of the danger of too easily labelling opposition groups and activists as terrorists. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
It is Wednesday morning, September the 3rd, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington, and please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. The African Union has warned leaders of Lesotho's coalition government that the continental organization has a zero tolerance for the forceful removal of constitutionally elected governments on the continent. Lesotho Prime Minister Thomas Thabane had asked the AU to send peacekeepers to his country following an apparent attempted coup over the weekend. AU Deputy Chairman Erastus Muecha tells reporter Peter Clotty that the continental body is hopeful that the ongoing SADC-led talks will help resolve the political crisis in Lesotho.
I already issued a statement, first of all, urging the parties to sit down and be able to solve their problem amicably, using the instruments that the country has. And in that statement, we reminded them exactly what you have just said, that as AU, of course, have taken a stand, which is well known, that we cannot tolerate any unconstitutional means of changing government. And we are happy to note that under the leadership of President Jacob Zuma of South Africa, who's also the chair of the organ of SADC, he's already been having discussions with the two protagonists, and we hope that the process that has been initiated under the aegis of SADC will bear fruit. So as far as we're now watching to see the next moves, and we hope that this initiative will succeed and Lesotho can avert plunging itself into a crisis.
What is the feedback that the AU is receiving following the meeting between a prominent member of the AU and leader in SADC, President Jacob Zuma, meeting with leaders in Lesotho to try to resolve this problem?
Well, as you know, these things started happening on Saturday evening, and today is Tuesday, so they have had meetings, I believe, on Sunday and yesterday. So we're not yet impatient. Of course, we are concerned, and we feel that there is still time for the two. And from what we gathered, the two parties are in South Africa, and they're having, I don't know what is direct talks, but at least they have contacts through President Zuma, so we want to wait to see the outcome of that initiative.
Now, there were calls of possible AU military intervention to bring the situation under control, although there's an uneasy calm that has returned. Do you foresee a situation where the AU force will be called into action in this instance, especially when the talks have begun?
That is really putting the cart before the horse. You cannot talk about military intervention when the parties are talking and the coup has not happened. What we see is a process that is not going well. You know, perhaps, to put it mildly, appearing like a coup in the making. And I don't think we should jump into saying, okay, let's end the force, because one of the principles that AU ensues is let's really find amicable solutions to conflict rather than really using force, because then you are defeating the purpose of preaching peace, because those who overthrow governments are the ones who use force. And in the backbone of our intervention, force should not be the first option. But that doesn't mean we tolerate any situation. We want to give the parties as much space as possible to solve
their
disagreement or the conflict amicably.
Erastus Muecha is the deputy chairman of the African Union. He spoke with reporter Peter Clotte from Kenya's capital, Nairobi. The UN Refugee Agency says thousands of Nigerians have fled vicious attacks by Boko Haram into Cameroon in the past 10 days. The UNHCR says the refugees remain in fear of their lives as the attacks by the insurgents do not stop at the border. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
Cameroonian authorities estimate at least 9,000 people have arrived in the country's far north region, with more continuing to arrive. They say more than 1,500 other people have sought refuge in Niger. The UN Refugee Agency reports the new arrivals have fled recurrent attacks in the past 3 weeks in the Gwoze area in Nigeria's Borno state. But UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards says even upon arrival in Cameroon, the refugees are not necessarily out of harm's way.
UNHCR is very concerned that even once people have crossed into Cameroon, they're still being pursued by insurgents. We've already started to relocate some of the refugees to a refugee camp where they can be in safer conditions.
But this is not so easy to do. Edward says aid workers have had limited access to the border areas these past weeks because of the increasing insecurity. Despite the volatile situation, he says they were able to go to a northern town during the weekend where they met new arrivals. He says some of the newly arrived refugees are sleeping on the ground in schools and churches, and some are staying with host families. He says children are suffering poor health. The refugees have been telling UNHCR staff that everyone had fled for their lives and that their villages in northeast Nigeria are now empty.
On Sunday, our team reached the Cameroonian border village of Koza and met a number of refugee women. They told us that when their homes were attacked in Nigeria's Borno state, their husbands had sent them with their children into the surrounding mountains. They later saw heavy smoke coming from the village, which made them fear insurgents had burnt their homes. They have had no news from their husbands.
Edward says the UNHCR has begun relocating 80 of the new refugees, mainly women and children, from Koza to a refugee camp in Minawao, 120 kilometers from the border. The camp already hosts 6,000 Nigerians. The UNHCR says the total number of refugees in Cameroon now stands at around 39,000. As Boko Haram attacks in northern Nigeria show no sign of letting up, the agency fears refugee numbers in Cameroon will continue to spiral. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Some 200 tusks from elephants killed in Cameroon and Gabon have been intercepted at the Yaounde International Airport. They were bound for Asia, where a high demand for ivory has sparked the illegal slaughter of elephants in Africa. Conservationists say almost 12,000 elephants have been killed in Central African countries since 2004. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports for VOA from Yaounde.
Cameroon authorities say the tusk came from the southern part of the country near the border with Gabon, where elephant poaching has been rife. Wildlife official Isola Dipanda supervised the operation to seize the tusk at the airport after a tip-off from locals. He tells VOA that although the poachers escaped, all efforts are being made to find them. He says at least 94 elephants of all ages were killed in this particular incident. He says they have secured the tusk and will track down those responsible for these crimes against endangered wildlife. Gabon, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo are home to more than half of Africa's forest elephants, the smallest of the African species. Their tusks are highly valued for jewelry and other ivory products in Asian markets because of the quality of their tusk. Isola Dipanda says if the current wave of poaching continues, the extinction of the forest elephant may become a reality.
L'éléphant, c'est une espèce intégralement protégée. Si rien n'est fait.
He says despite international protections of elephants, unabated poaching could mean that these elephants will disappear from the earth within a half century. Among the organizations working in Cameroon to protect endangered species is the Glass Grape Ape Organization, LAGA. Its director, Israel-born Ofri Dori, says elephant populations have fallen by more than 60% in the region in the past decade. He says poachers are part of criminal networks that conspire with corrupt African and Asian officials in the black market trade.
We believe the network is even bigger, so investigation is going on right now in trying to uncover more and trying to find more members from this network.
In 2012, the World Wildlife Fund says more than 200 elephants were slaughtered in a single national park in Cameroon. In March 2013, 86 elephants, including 33 pregnant females, were killed in Chad. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Mark Owuma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Good Wednesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with swimming. South African Chad Leclos stole the limelight on day two at the FINA Mastbank Swimming World Cup in Dubai, United Arab Emirates on Tuesday. Leclos clocked 48.59 seconds to win the men's 100-meter butterfly. He went on to snatch another gold medal in the men's 200-meters individual medley in a time of 1 minute and 51.56 seconds. Meanwhile, Tunisian Ahmed Mathlouthi clocked 14 minutes and 55.97 seconds to clinch a bronze medal in the men's 1,500 meters freestyle. In volleyball, Venezuela beat Cameroon by 3-1 at the World Men's Volleyball Championships in Warsaw, Poland on Tuesday. Today, Wednesday, Africans continue their quest for their first victory at these championships when Tunisia face Brazil in Katowice and Egypt challenge Russia in Gdansk. Turning to hockey, the World Hockey League One Africa leg, which was due to start today Wednesday in Nairobi, Kenya, has been pushed back to Friday, according to the schedule released by the International Hockey Federation on Tuesday. On Friday, Ghana played Tanzania in the women's contest before Egypt played Ghana and Kenya faced Tanzania in the men's contest. On Saturday, Kenya played Ghana in the women's tie, then Egypt faced Tanzania and Kenya played Ghana in the men's encounter. On Sunday, Tanzania faced Kenya in a women's match before the men's fixtures featuring Ghana against Tanzania, then Egypt tackling Kenya. Turning to football, coach Mariano Barreto is confident his Ethiopian national team's three-week tour of Brazil will enhance their chances of qualifying for the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco. This is the first time the Ethiopian Walia Antelopes toured South America. Ethiopia hosts Algeria in Addis Ababa this coming weekend before traveling to Blantyre to face Malawi next week in their Nations Cup qualifiers. Finally, in golf, East Africa's finest golfers from Burundi, Ethiopia, Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania, and hosts Uganda are in Kampala for the start of the Uganda Open Golf Championships today, Wednesday. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Monka, for a good day. Our listener mail for this Wednesday morning comes from Onoja Atehe of Koji State in Nigeria. He says, dear VOA, Nigeria needs a highly trained, equipped, professional and motivated military to be able to contain the thunderstorm that is Boko Haram, whose terrorist activities have created a frightening situation for all Nigerians. Thank you, Onoja Atehe of Koji State, Nigeria, for your comment. And please send your viewpoints to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us in the United States at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us a message. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. The International Medical Aid Group, Doctors Without Borders, says the world is losing the battle against Ebola and warns that the deadly virus will not be stopped unless wealthy nations dispatch specialized biological disaster response teams to West Africa. Meanwhile, in Liberia, a missionary organization announced that another American doctor has become infected. Serving in mission said the obstetrician was not treating Ebola patients at the hospital in Monrovia. It did not elaborate how the doctor contracted the virus. Also on Tuesday, U.S. President Barack Obama joined the fight against Ebola, recording a message for West Africans on how to avoid and treat the deadly disease. There are conflicting reports on whether Islamist militants have taken over a city in northeastern Nigeria after a fierce gun battle with army troops. Residents and a local politician said Tuesday Boko Haram rebels have seized the military positions in Bama. That's it for this Wednesday, September 3rd edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Tracy Carter, reporters Peter Clotte and Ricky Shryak, as well as post editor Mark Owoman, along with our engineer Jimmy Cook, I'm James Barton, Washington, saying, have a nice day, Africa.
In Focus from the Voice of America Television is a half-hour international news magazine with reports on Africa, the African diaspora, and the world. It examines a wide variety of issues and world events, not always covered by other media, with correspondent reports on politics and diplomacy, news, pop culture, sports, health, and the environment.
Check your local listings for In Focus on VOA TV.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Please join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 1700 hours UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and enlighten us all on the topic at hand. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 1700 hours UTC on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America.